In LTS in the health and wellbeing team, so I thought I would do a little 7 minutes, just shout at me if I go over the time, about health and wellbeing. My title was Health and Wellbeing, Responsibility of All is Enough to Make You Ill, because I think as teachers, as well as all the responsibility you have in terms of if you're a secondary teacher, the responsibility of your subject area, then here we've got literacy, numeracy and health and wellbeing. And I'm so out of my nut tree, it's unbelievable. But what did I want to say about health and wellbeing? It can make you ill, because where do you start? It's such a huge area. We've got 6 organisers in health and wellbeing, and we can actually deliver them through 4 different contexts for learning, through the ethos of the school, through links with different curricular areas. I know we're not allowed to really say interdisciplinary learning anymore. You can also do it through subject areas and also through personal achievement. So I guess for school, where do you start? If we look at mental and emotional and social and physical health, we all have that responsibility, but I'm sure in the practice that you already do, then, you know, we do work and support children in their mental and emotional health. We know that health and well-being, you know, children who are not mentally and emotionally well take up a huge amount of resources and time, and we can see that. So, you know, the fact that health and well-being is now a curricular area, I think, is a fantastic thing, because we're going to address, hopefully, these issues to make sure that everyone supports children in school in their mental and emotional health. If they're not mentally and emotionally well, we know that it has a huge impact on their learning and a huge impact on them achieving their potential. So, you know, I think that's a good news story, that it's there in black and white and we have to address it. We know that one of the big issues we've got with health and wellbeing when we've gone around the country is that staff, you know, are unsure which areas of responsibility are on, which ones aren't. If you're a primary teacher, then you're just one of these wonderful people that just have to do everything, aren't you? With the secondary, there are certain parts of health and wellbeing that isn't your responsibility, but as a whole school community, then of course we have to try and map that out to make sure that any gaps that are in there are covered, and also if there's any overlap, that it's a meaningful overlap. So that if you get a school, for example, that's looking at bullying, who's delivering bullying, and at what age or stage the children, and if there's other areas in the school that are doing bullying, do they tie up? Because I know certainly in secondary there's a big issue about us working with silos and not knowing what other people are doing. And I find as a PE teacher, quite often, if I'm looking at things like measurement and throwing javelins, the pupils will say, "We did that in math 2 weeks ago. Oh, what a missed opportunity," when we actually could have been working with the math to make sure that the learning that we're getting in math was being reinforced in PE and vice versa. So I'm hoping that Curriculum for Excellence for Health and Wellbeing is going to address that, so that we've got a more joined up thinking in terms of delivering learning across the school community. Trying to think of anything else. I guess, you know, in terms of looking at a school, where do we start in mapping this out? And I guess it is a mapping exercise to have a look and see which areas we're going to take responsibility. Thinking of your own roles in school, you know, what's your contribution that you make to children's health and wellbeing? And if it's not your job, then it has to be somebody's job. And if we've got these great partners out there that we can bring in, you know, substance misuse in secondary is not the responsibility at all. But there are fantastic people out there in the community that have counselling and all different support services that come in and work with children. And we know that children and young people love people coming to visit and work with them. And if we can harness these great partners, then again, you know, Curriculum for Excellence is saying that partnership working is a really key aspect of delivering, and if we can bring these people in, then it would be fantastic to work with them. So, in conclusion, I would like to say that we need 4 things to support health and wellbeing in schools. First of all, we need leadership at all levels, because what we're seeing sometimes across the country is that health and wellbeing now being a curricular area, then sometimes in curriculum architecture, some schools are saying, right, we're going to timetable it, and we'll put 3 periods a week to health and wellbeing. PE department, home economics, design a programme, get it up and running by August. And I'm not sure that that's the right way to go. So that's the kind of thing I think could make you ill, with the worry of that. So leadership at all levels needs to be that the whole school have a clear understanding that within their learning community, they know what aspects of health and wellbeing they're going to concentrate on, because we know that in some communities there are great links between, say, substance misuse and sexual health, where alcohol consumption on Friday night and teenage pregnancy, and perhaps that would be the starting point for certain communities. Other communities, of course, it's something else. And the great thing about having the flexibility in curriculum practice is that you within your own community determine that. And I think that's a good news story. Genuine partnership and positive relationships is another thing I think that has to be in place within a school community. And from that, of course, if you've got genuine partnership, there then would be a clarity about the roles and responsibilities that people would have in delivering health and wellbeing. And the last one is a recognition of the impact that mental and emotional, social and physical ill health has on achievement. And my final point is that if we are saying that health and wellbeing is a good thing for children, enable them to learn and to reach their potential, what about staff health? Because if we ignore that, and we know if staff are mentally and emotionally unwell, how can they possibly deliver? So if we're all learners in this together, then it's not just about children being supported, it's about staff being supported. And therefore health and wellbeing responsibility for all shouldn't make you ill, it should have you jumping for joy.